Welcome to day 45 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. We have begun the book of Leviticus, and today we are reading Leviticus 5, 6, and 7. So we will begin at Leviticus 5, verse 1. Now, if a person sins after he hears a public adjuration to testify when he is a witness, whether he has seen or otherwise known, if he does not tell it, then he will bear his guilt. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether a carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of an unclean cattle, or a carcass of unclean swarming things, though it is hidden from him and he is unclean, then he will be guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness, of whatever sort his uncleanness may be, with which he becomes unclean, and it is hidden from him, and then he comes to know it, he will be guilty. Or if a person swears thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, in whatever matter a man may speak thoughtlessly with an oath, and it is hidden from him, and then he comes to know it, he will be guilty in one of these. So it shall be when he becomes guilty in one of these, that he shall confess that in which he has sinned. He shall also bring his guilt offering to the Lord for his sin which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat, as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin. But if he cannot afford a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord his guilt offering for that in which he has sinned, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer first that which is for the sin offering, and shall nip its head at the front of its neck, but he shall not sever it. He shall also sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, while the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. The second he shall then prepare as a burnt offering according to the ordinance. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin which he has committed, and it will be forgiven him. But if his means are insufficient for two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then for his offering for that which he has sinned, he shall bring the tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall not put oil on it or place incense on it, for it is a sin offering. He shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it as its memorial portion and offer it up in smoke on the altar with the offerings of the Lord by fire. It is a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin, which he has committed from one of these, and it will be forgiven him. Then the rest shall become the priest's, like the grain offering. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person acts unfaithfully and sins unintentionally against the Lord's holy things, then he shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation in silver by shekels, in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary for a guilt offering. He shall make restitution for that which he has sinned against the holy thing, and shall add to it a fifth part of it and give it to the priest. The priest shall then make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it will be forgiven him. Now, if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, though he is unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment. He is then to bring to the priest a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation, for a guilt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his error, in which he sinned unintentionally and did not know it, and it will be forgiven him. It is a guilt offering. He was certainly guilty before the Lord. Chapter 6. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when a person sins and acts unfaithfully against the Lord and deceives his companion in regard to a deposit or a security entrusted to him, or through robbery, or if he has extorted from his companion, or has found what was lost and lied about it and sworn falsely, so that he sins in regard to any one of the things a man may do, then it shall be, when he sins and becomes guilty, that he shall restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by extortion, or the deposit which was entrusted to him, or the lost thing which he found, or anything about which he swore falsely. He shall make restitution for it in full, and add to it 1/5 more. He shall give it to the one to whom it belongs on the day he presents his guilt offering. Then he shall bring to the priest his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation, for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he will be forgiven for any of the things which he may have done to incur guilt. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering itself shall remain on the hearth, on the altar, all night until the morning, and the fire on the altar is to be kept burning on it. The priest is to put on his linen robe, and he shall put on undergarments next to his flesh, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire reduces the burnt offering on the altar, and place them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay out the burnt offering on it, and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offerings on it. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. Now this is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall present it before the Lord in front of the altar. Then one of them shall lift up from it a handful of the fine flour of the grain offering with its oil, and all the incense that is on the grain offering, and he shall offer it up in smoke on the altar, a soothing aroma, as its memorial offering to the Lord. What is left of it, Aaron and his sons are to eat. It shall be eaten as unleavened cakes in a holy place. They are to eat it in the court of the tent of meeting. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their share from my offerings by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. Every male among the sons of Aaron may eat it. It is a permanent ordinance throughout your generations, from the offerings by fire to the Lord. Whoever touches them will become consecrated. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, This is the offering which Aaron and his sons are to present to the Lord on the day when he is anointed. The tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a regular grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. It shall be prepared with oil on a griddle. When it is well stirred, you shall bring it. You shall present the grain offering in baked pieces as a soothing aroma to the Lord. The anointed priest who will be in his place among his sons shall offer it. By a permanent ordinance, it shall be entirely offered up in smoke to the Lord. So every grain offering of the priest shall be burned entirely. It shall not be eaten. Then the Lord said to Moses, Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, This is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is slain, the sin offering shall be slain before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it. It shall be eaten in a holy place, in the court of the tent of meeting. Anyone who touches its flesh will become consecrated, and when any of its blood splashes on a garment, in a holy place you shall wash what was splashed on. Also, the earthenware vessel in which it was boiled shall be broken, And if it was boiled in a bronze vessel, then it shall be scoured and rinsed in water. Every male among the priests may eat of it. It is most holy. But no sin offering of which any of the blood is brought into the tent of meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. Chapter 7. Now this is the law of the guilt offering. It is most holy. In the place where they slay the burnt offering, they are to slay the guilt offering. And he shall sprinkle its blood around the altar. Then he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe on the liver he shall remove with the kidneys. The priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as an offering by fire to the Lord. It is a guilt offering. Every male among the priests may eat of it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. The guilt offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. Also, the priest who presents any man's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has presented. Likewise, every grain offering that is baked in the oven, and everything prepared in a pan or on a griddle, shall belong to the priest who presents it. Every grain offering, mixed with oil or dry, shall belong to all the sons of Aaron, to all alike. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering with cakes of leavened bread. Of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offering, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a votive or a free will offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day what is left of it may be eaten. But what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. So if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings should ever be eaten on the third day, he who offers it will not be accepted, and it will not be reckoned to his benefit. It shall be an offensive thing, and the person who eats of it will bear his own iniquity. Also, the flesh that touches anything unclean shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. As for the other flesh, anyone who is clean may eat such flesh. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which belong to the Lord in his uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from his people. When anyone touches anything unclean, whether human uncleanness or an unclean animal or any unclean detestable thing, and eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which belong to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat from an ox, a sheep, or a goat. Also, the fat of an animal which dies, and the fat of an animal torn by beasts, may be put to any other use, but you must certainly not eat it. For whoever eats the fat of the animal from which an offering by fire is offered to the Lord, even the person who eats shall be cut off from his people. You are not to eat any blood, either of bird or animal, in any of your dwellings. Any person who eats any blood, even that person shall be cut off from his people." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands are to bring offerings by fire to the Lord. He shall bring the fat with the breast, and the breast may be presented as a wave offering before the Lord. The priest shall offer up the fat in smoke on the altar, but the breast shall belong to Aaron and his sons. You shall give the right thigh to the priest as a contribution from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. The one among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat, the right thigh shall be his portion. For I have taken the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution from the sons of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as their due forever from the sons of Israel. This is that which is consecrated to Aaron, and that which is consecrated to his sons, from the offerings by fire to the Lord. In that day, when he presented them to serve as priests to the Lord, these the Lord had commanded to be given them from the sons of Israel in the day that he anointed them. It is their due forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the sin offering, and the guilt offering, and the ordination offering, and the sacrifice of peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses at Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the sons of Israel to present their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we came upon the guilt offering that's mentioned in Leviticus chapter 6. And I want to bring to your attention something very interesting about this. We've been reading the various offerings that the Lord commanded Moses to tell the people to bring when they have sinned. But when we get to chapter 6, we find that not only is a person who acts unfaithfully against the Lord or deceives his friend or another companion with regard to a deposit or security entrusted to him, or robs him in some way, or takes something that belongs to him, or even lies about something he found and swears falsely about it, that person is not only to go to the Lord and ask forgiveness, make an offering for his cleansing of his guilt, but also the scripture tells us in verse 5 that person shall make full restitution for what he took unjustly and add to it 1/5 more, meaning he's to give 20% on top of whatever it is that he stole from the person. He's to give it to the one to whom it belongs on the day that he goes to the Lord to present his guilt offering. So this subject of restitution is a very interesting one. As I mentioned when we were talking about the Ten Commandments, that God laid out for his people commandments that were to be foundational for a society where they would know how to interact with God and how they were to interact with people. The first four commandments with regard to relationship with God, and the remaining six had to do with relationships with people. And one of them, as you know, is thou shalt not steal. Well, here we find what the remedy is when a person does defraud another person in some way, rob them, steal from them, take what belongs to them, gets it by extortion, steals a deposit given to them, or mishandles something given to them that was entrusted to them, or just plain takes something that doesn't belong to them. It says that this word tells us that God instructed them not only to repent to God, but also to go back to the person that they wronged, repent, ask forgiveness, and give them back what belongs to them plus 20%. Now that's a fascinating subject, the issue of restitution. One of my favorite illustrations about this subject of restitution comes from a preacher from many decades ago, and this gentleman said that he was preaching on this question about unconfessed sin and also restitution, and how it bothers a person's conscience until it's dealt with. And at the close of the sermon that he was giving at a certain church, a young man came back to this preacher with his very troubled conscience, and he told him, "Pastor, you've put me in a really bad fix now. I've wronged someone, and it's my boss, because I have actually been stealing from him a little bit at a time, and now I'm in big trouble because I have witnessed to this man, because he's an unbeliever, witnessed to him about his need for Christ, and I've urged him to even come and listen to you preach, but he just laughs at me. And now I've been stealing just these little copper nails from him because I'm a boat builder and the copper nails don't rust. And so that's what we use at work. And I've also been building a little boat for myself at home. And I've been taking these copper nails a little bit at a time, thinking it's not a big deal. And also he has plenty and he doesn't pay me that much and all the excuses I've used. But the truth is, your sermon has shown me that I'm just a common thief. And now I have no excuse." And so the pastor encouraged him to go to his boss, confess what he'd done, and repay everything that he'd taken. But the young man was just so upset. He said, "I can't do that. If I go and tell him what I've done and I offer to pay for the things I've taken, he's going to think I'm a hypocrite and my entire witness to him will be completely ruined. And yet, my conscience is being so bothered. Literally, the copper nails are digging into my conscience. And I know I'm never going to have peace until I make this matter right." So for many weeks, this young man struggled with what to do. And finally, his conscience got the best of him, and he went to his boss, and he confessed that he had been taking those copper nails from his boss, and that the God had convicted him, and he wanted to repay him everything that he had taken. And he went to the pastor and told him, "I have settled my copper nails problem, and my conscience is clear at last." The pastor was curious to find out how the boss responded. So he told him the story. He said, "When I told my boss, he looked at me very strangely. And he said, I've always thought you were a hypocrite. But now I'm beginning to think there must be something to this Christianity after all. Because any religion that would make a dishonest employee come back and confess that he'd been stealing and offer to repay what he's stolen must be worth having." This issue of restitution is really important. Many of us have done wrong things in our lifetime and only repented to God, but never gone back to the person. And I want to encourage you today about this subject. Whether you're a child, a student in school, an employee, this issue brought up here in the book of Leviticus about how to cleanse our conscience. Obviously, we go to the Lord, we repent, we ask his forgiveness. The sacrifice, you could say the guilt offering, which is what was being discussed here in Leviticus, has already been made by Jesus for our sins. However, that does not, though it puts us in right standing with God, it doesn't put us in right standing with the human beings that we have perhaps wronged. So I want you to consider this today. Is there an area in your life where you need to make restitution to somebody? The Word of God is very clear on this, that that's right order. And in the case of Leviticus, the instructions were clear to add 20% to what was wrongly taken from someone, to return what was taken and add 20% as part of the restitution. I think that this is something that's been lost very often among Christians. They confess their sins to God, leave it there, but never go back and make amends with the humans that they have wronged. So consider this, and when you are dealing with your children and talking about this subject, also, this is a good truth and a very powerful principle to teach them as well. I tell you, it'll also be a great encourager to never take from anyone, because God requires of us to keep accounts short between ourselves and God, but also with people. It's important to humble ourselves. If we have wronged someone, go to them and confess that and ask their forgiveness and restore whatever needs to be restored. So God bless you. Give you a great week.